3,000 years ago, Sushruta, the father of modern surgery, did the first set of surgeries 3,000 years ago. He did a rhinoplasty surgery, correcting the nose.
Hi, I'm Dr. Dimple Jangra. I'm your podcast host and I welcome you to A Gut Story. This is a podcast, a platform where we're going to discuss healthy everything. A healthy body, healthy mind, healthy emotion, healthy energetics, and a healthy spiritual journey. We're going to also discuss stories of courage, grit, confidence, discipline, and patience that helped several people overcome tragic events in their life and physical trauma. And we're also going to learn from several natural sciences like Ayurveda, naturopathy, homeopathy, yoga, on how to reset our body back to good health and bring ourselves back closer to nature. Welcome to A Gut Story with yours truly, Dr. Dimple.
So if you were kind of the elevator pitch of Ayurvedic medicine, like, you know, we've got, you know, 30 seconds and somebody's like, oh, well, tell me about what that is. What if we're going to kind of set some context around some of this stuff, what would you explain Ayurvedic medicine as?
Ayurveda is a 5,000-year-old time-tested science that teaches you how to prevent diseases rather than waiting to get sick. It helps you design your diet and lifestyle based on your unique body composition, based on your genetic factors, the topographic and geographic conditions, the climatic conditions, your lifestyle, your health goals.
There's a lot to unpack there. So if you're like, that sounds to me, you know, somebody's saying that, that sounds kind of like an early stage of personalized medicine where it's not going to be the same across the board. We're going to kind of meet you where you're at and give you recommendations based on one, like your signs and symptoms, but also your history, your beliefs, your genetics. Is that where this got started? How was Ayurveda discovered, started, perpetuated?
So, you know, there's a mythological story to it that, you know, when Brahma, the creator of the world, created the world, human life, he also unleashed or created lots of bacteria and parasites and germs in the air that would make us sick. So he created a lot of life, right? This is the evolution of mankind, diseases. And then men also understood that nature exists in perfect harmony and balance. For every disease, there is a herb, there is a cure. Same time, Dhanvantri, who's called the god of Ayurveda. Now, you know, we use the titles gods and goddesses because, you know, they blessed us with whatever. So you can call them scientists. You could call Newton god 1,000 years from now. So Dhanvantri, the god of Ayurveda or the father of Ayurveda, appeared to men who were struggling with a lot of diseases with a pot of golden colored liquid. It was actually the Shatagata Brudam, which is basically 100 washed ghee. Ghee's clarified butter.
Yeah.
When you take that clarified butter and run it around 100 times on a mortar and pestle, okay, and then you keep washing it with water, you're washing away all the residue of hormones or any kind of inedible stuff, and you get this 100 washed ghee, which is equal to nectar. Okay? Now, it's not going to make you immortal. What it does is basically lubricates your GI tract, your gut, your intestines, your colon, and allows smooth evacuation of waste from your body. Once you've eliminated waste from your body, there's no room for diseases, right? So he appeared on the day of Dhanteras, which is, you know, celebrated in India as a day to buy gold and jewelry. But what people have forgotten is that health is wealth. So that's the day of health, not just physical wealth. So what we're discussing is health. And since then, all the other Ayurvedic doctors, sages and monks who had dedicated their life to becoming a Vaidya. Vaidya means a dedicated doctor. Some of it was written down and captured. Most of it got destroyed during the colonial rule in India. Most of the scriptures and Vedic texts got destroyed. 3,000 years ago, Sushruta, the father of modern surgery, did the first set of surgeries 3,000 years ago. He did a rhinoplasty surgery, correcting the nose. So cosmetic surgery is not a vanity invented by the West. It was actually discovered by Ayurvedic doctors 3,000 years ago. And he did the first rhinoplasty surgery. And then when people came back from war, they were missing limbs, or they came with fractured bones, or, you know, severe infections. C-section was also performed at that point in time. Babies were taken out of the womb through a surgery. And someone was missing a ear from the war. So they grafted the skin from the cheek to build a ear for this gentleman. They took ants to create stitches. Complex surgeries were performed 3,000 years ago, which has been documented. There is evidence of it that has been found.
This, I mean, it has such a probably interesting following, where I think people hear of Ayurveda and they think of kind of, you know, this history around healthcare and medicine, and I, at least in the West, a lot of people will probably put it in, you know, kind of the like shamanistic type of medicine around here. A lot of people would have, you know, thought of, you know, kind of like the healers in the American Indian culture, and somewhat just mentally lump those together. And maybe they do have a similar, you know, time frame in how long they were healing. And it's quite interesting to me when we find two very separate like ideologies that come up with similar answers. That always piques my interest. If people come from very far away and different backgrounds, and yet they still come out with very similar, hey, this is what we've found helps. And one of the things I love about like this history is that they didn't really have a dog in the fight, so to speak. They didn't have like this paradigm that they were trying to prove their own thoughts. All they cared about was the outcome. They just cared whether it worked or not. And so if they tried experiments and it didn't work, it wasn't like, oh, you're taking my ideology away. It was like, nope, that one didn't give us the result we wanted. So not that we won't use it in the future, but we won't use it for this. So it was a much more practical form of even like the modern scientific method that they were practicing to discover all of this stuff. It's incredible to me how much information that we're starting to prove now that they were talking about thousands of years ago.
It's amazing how you've actually caught the gist of the, you know, science. Be it naturopathy, Ayurveda, homeopathy, traditional Chinese medicine, or even the shamanic science, or the medicine, you know, practiced by the Native Americans back in the day. Look at any ancient science practiced in Greece. You know, you find documented evidence even by the Athens. Socrates spoke about it, right? Da Vinci also spoke about human form in his art, right? He spoke about how the muscles were built, the bones were built. But somehow that era was the era of discovering humankind, mankind, and how to improve longevity. So everybody was invested in that, and there was no vested interest or bias in their research because they were not funded by pharma or FMCG companies to arrive at a predetermined conclusion that, hey, coffee is great for health. But who benefits from that research? Coffee plantations. And you'll not find a single research report that says that coffee is unhealthy. Back in the day, there was no vested interest of, like you said, no dog in the fight. You know, so the pride was not at stake, nor was a lot of corporate money at stake.
So you have, if somebody listened to this, I don't think they would realize what your background is, because like you listen to your passion behind it and people are like, oh, well, she must have been in this forever. But even before we started recording, we were talking about your kind of travels and your work traveling from New York to Chicago and doing all that stuff. So I want to get your path to finding this, but I want to read something that you wrote because this grabbed me and I'd like you to expand on it. So by the age of 18, I had undergone four surgeries for fibrocystic benign tumors, inflamed tonsils, and a deviated septum. It was a new record in the family. I remember waking up during one of those surgeries and feeling like I was trapped in my paralyzed body. Tell us about that time and how that led to you finding and kind of gaining your passion for Ayurveda.
You know, I still get goose flesh when people read out that line to me. I woke up in the middle of my surgery and I couldn't move my body, but I could hear the doctors and nurses talking over my body. I could hear them talking, and the doctor asked, did she wake up? The nurse said, no, she didn't. And I wanted to scream saying, yes, I'm awake. Yes, I'm awake. You know, please put me back to sleep. I have that trauma that has been locked in my deep subconscious mind, right? So this is what happened when I was a child, and I think everything was destiny. You know, when you connect the dots, it all makes sense. I forgot all about it. I went on to become a TV reporter, a TV producer. I was in advertising as well for a brief period of time. I became an investment banker. I was living in New York, working in Chicago. You know, it was a high-rise life, living in expensive hotels. I had it all, but deep within, I was just not happy. And it didn't make sense because I had the best wardrobe, money in my bank, you know, this globetrotting lifestyle that everyone was envious of, you know, by social media status, I had the best life. But I was just not happy and I couldn't figure out why. And I packed my bags, left it all in storage. It's been 7 years since that event. Came back to India, left all my things in New York. And I thought, you know, it's going to be a brief stint in India. I'm going to just, you know, take a little rest or break and then go back to the US. That didn't happen. I just went from one project to another project, trying to figure out where I want to put my money and my energy in next. So I went through a series of due diligence for various projects like pharmaceutical packaging industry. There was a cutting tool industry in France, in Rouen. There was hotels, heritage hotels that I wanted to acquire and turn around. And I kept looking for my purpose. So it would take me 2 months per project, you know, to do the due diligence and to see if it's a financial fit, if I want to put my money in this. And on the D-day when I'm supposed to buy the project or give my final answer, I would wake up and ask myself this question. Am I going to be excited selling packaging tools or cutting tools around the world? And the answer was no. So I said, okay, you know, I'm not willing to spend the rest of my life doing what I don't enjoy. This was at the age of 33. And then I started touring the countryside in India, Tamil Nadu, Kerala, Karnataka. And a lot of my ailments were beginning to reverse, which I didn't realize. I had chronic insomnia. That reversed. I started sleeping like a baby. I had a terribly poor appetite. You know, I don't know if it was bulimia or anorexia when I was a little girl, but I had a terribly poor appetite. I just couldn't eat. And suddenly I was eating a big meal. I was rising with the sun, setting with the sun, and I was experiencing unconditional happiness. The exact opposite of what I was experiencing at the peak of my career in New York and Chicago. And I couldn't put a word to it at that point in time, but it comes to me now. It's unconditional happiness. It happens when your body is in sync with nature, when your body clock and the circadian rhythm is in balance, when your body is producing enough melatonin for you to fall asleep, it has a great digestion, metabolism, you're eliminating waste, and your body is reversing all damaged tissues, muscles, and nerves, and as a sum of all of that, you're happy.
Yeah.
And that's what I wanted to, you know, bottle up and sell to the world. And thus was born Prana Healthcare Center, my clinic, which is run by a team of doctors and therapists. And I started my research on preventive healthcare life science.
I love it. Yeah, it's such a, like you hear those things and I've had probably five or six friends that moved from either, and certainly like COVID allowed this, you know, if there's anything that we can point to that said we can say was a good thing is that, you know, certain people were able to get out of these like major centers like New York and California and allowed to still, you know, kind of accomplish their goals from a business standpoint. And change their life. I've had multiple friends who were in this kind of, you know, major metropolis areas and have gotten back to waking up. And as you said, like being in sync with the world, with the earth, with their cycles, and 100% are like, I feel like a different person. I feel new. I feel a renewed sense of energy. A lot of these kind of chronic conditions, pain, headaches, depression, all have gone away by getting back to going through what, you know, I would say is our normal human like programming in how do we kind of live in sync with, you know, the sunrise, the sunset, the earth, growing, finding natural foods. What was the big aha moment for you while you were over there? Was there something like a moment you like woke up and I just feel really good? Was there anything that kind of jumped out and made you, I'm going to commit my life to this, getting people access to this type of feeling?
You know, you don't realize that you found something until you witness the success of it and the validation of it in the society. In terms of impact and numbers, right? So I did not know that I'd stumbled upon something powerful, right? You know, you speak about the life in New York and Chicago and big metropolis cities, even Bombay, where I live. It's a rat race. We're always running from pillar to post, from one event to another event, from one meeting to another meeting. if you really want to live a long life, slow down everything. Slow down your heart rate. Slow down your thoughts. Slow down your reaction to emotions. It doesn't have to be real time. And instead of trying to run at the gym, how about you sit on one spot, catch your breath. The minute you decompress, you know, our body is like a sponge. The minute you decompress, you're squeezing out all the toxicity. You notice you're lighter, you're healthier, you're cleaner. You decompress and squeeze out all the toxins, all the soap, all the water. And then when you let go, you have a brand new life. The same thing applies to human health. And I did not realize these words until I started talking to you, actually. I was looking for the right words, you know. So I'm going to put it in my next book. So, you know, when I started the clinic, I didn't realize what I was working towards, to be honest. I wanted to use natural sciences like Ayurveda, naturopathy, homeopathy, yoga to help people cure their diseases rather than be caught like a hamster in a wheel with Western medicine, unfortunately, which has a lot of side effects. Right? I'm not anti-Western medicine. Western medicine has a role to play in acute conditions, okay? Where the situation is out of control, like an accident, a fracture, a heart attack, life-saving surgery. You need to do that. But when we start abusing modern science and start applying it for daily lifestyle diseases or chronic diseases that can be resolved by changing your diet and lifestyle, when you start abusing modern science and surgeries, then you're abusing your own body and your lifespan and longevity. So I wanted to replace these acute measures with something that is more sustainable. Looking at the root cause. What is the root cause of your disease? It's your diet. It's the way you're eating. It's your lifestyle. It's the way you're sleeping, the way you're working out, the way you're interacting with, right? So then I started getting the root cause, and I found a lot of similarities between modern science and Ayurveda, where we understood that 90% of the diseases are caused due to an unhealthy colon, leaky gut syndrome, or an unhealthy gut. And I started digging more and more and more. All diseases were triggered by an unhealthy colon, all internal disorders. I think I kept finding these little aha moments, which kept building up. And then the book got released. And then when I started getting reviews from my clients in the clinic, that the diseases have reversed. Thyroid has reversed. Multiple sclerosis patients have started walking again, three of them. Paralysis patients started talking again. Patients who struggled with IVF multiple times were able to conceive naturally after the treatments, which is basically a detoxification method that we do in the clinic, a panchakarma treatment. And I was like, wow, these are these little aha moments that eventually added up. And every time someone asks me a question, if I dig deep enough and I find the answer, that's an aha, just like how I had one with you right now. It is decompressing, letting go of toxins, detoxification, and connecting back to nature.
Hey guys, if you like this episode, don't forget to leave a comment below so we can learn how to improve ourselves. Like, subscribe, and definitely share this with your loved ones, your friends, family, and relatives so you can become an influencer of good health in their lives. Until my next episode, here's wishing you unconditional happiness, love, forgiveness, kindness, empathy, compassion in everything that you do. Here's Dr. Dimple Jangra signing off.